You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to help you plan that unbelievable travel experience. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, excursions, and more in one place. There are over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from, so you can find something for everyone. And Viator offers free cancellation and 24/7 customer support for worry-free travel. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
They lost? Wait.
That's what I heard, yeah.
Oh, welcome in, everybody.
Nice.
It is, it's back to the comforting days of losing Bears football. You know, I mean, we got that reprieve with the one W that broke the 14-game losing streak, but they were unable to break the now 10-game home losing streak, 11-game divisional losing streak, and now 5 games to the Minnesota Vikings.
I saw a stat. They haven't won in Chicago in like 400 days. It's like, oh my God, how depressing is this franchise?
Very.
You know, I really thought they turned the corner. I thought, you know, 2 weeks in a row, I kind of likened it back to last year, that 6-game stretch, right, where the offense looked competent. I'm like, okay, this is this year's version of that, but it's, you know, there's better talent. So I thought it would be something, and no, it's not. No, it's just right back to the same old crap again. And oh well, that's
I think we're for DJ Moore in the first half.
Oh, I saw that. It was just, come on, what are we doing here?
Yeah, it's fun. Right when we think we got things figured out.
Yeah. I think we should get this thing started because we're already depressed over the whole thing. And this is supposed to be the balance show, and it's not already there. So,
all right. So for you that are watching before we start the podcast, I am on the road. I'm in a hotel, obviously. It's not my normal background. And so the internet goes out. Lester's going to cover. And if my sound's not perfect, because I did not bring my microphone to the East Coast. I brought my webcam, though. So hopefully it's not too bad. And we will get rocking here.
Sounds good to me, you know.
Just a second. Welcome to Bear and Balance. I'm Jeff Berkus, a writer for Windy City Gridiron, and I'm joined by the editor of that fine website, Lester A. Wiltfong Jr. Lester, the Bears get back to their losing ways, extending a lot of losing streaks, like home losing streaks, division losing streaks to the Minnesota Vikings. But other than all of those losing streaks, how are you feeling?
I'm feeling pretty good. I can't complain. It's, I think a couple weeks ago we talked about the weather in our open. The weather is not bad. A lot of rain over the weekend. But, you know, us Midwesterners, that's when there's nothing else going on good, you know, and the Bears are not going on good. It's weather talk. You know, you are in where now? You're on the road. So where are you at exactly?
I am in our nation's capital, the site of the last Bears win.
Oh, man.
So is there is that connection. So on an East Coast trip, we're here for the week. I was in Connecticut on Saturday and finished a half marathon in my 34th state and happened to break my personal best. So,
man.
I'm winning. I'm feeling
you're
good.
Yeah.
but not so much for our favorite football team. But why don't we just launch into this? Because, you know, it's going to be a tough one because they looked like garbage. So we start off every show by starting in the trenches. So for a trench tribute this week, maybe not as much to choose from as there was last week, but what'd you come up with?
I like the game from Jatyre Carter. You know, he was forced into action. Nate Davis had the high ankle sprain. He got kind of rolled up on, which you hate to see because Nate Davis has been playing pretty good the last couple weeks. He really has come back over his personal issues that he had to get over. Looked good, but Jatyre Carter, a lot of experience in the offseason, a lot of experience in the regular season, stepped in and, played pretty good. And, you know, Nate Davis's, I think it was a 2 or 3 year deal, but whatever it was, Jatyre Carter, whoever's coaching next year, you know, Carter's going to be part of this team. It looks like he looks like a keeper here. So kudos to Ryan Poles for plucking a guy like Carter late in the draft last year.
Oh, you remember that Carter was the guy that they kept on the active roster all year, even though he didn't really see much action, maybe a little bit late in the year, but they kept him over their other draft pick, that they late draft pick in the interior offensive line that went a little higher.
Yeah.
And he got plucked off of the practice squad, and a lot of people are like, whoa, you know, what's going on here? They liked Carter more from the start, and I think he's showing you why. He was actually mine too.
Nice.
And, you know, again, like saw some good buzz pop from him post game, went back and watched the game again, watched his snaps, looked good. And like you said, he's going to get some extended action now. So this is a guy that we can watch get some starts. It sounds like Nate Davis has a high ankle sprain. So that's generally, you know, a multi-week injury, particularly for a big guy. That's something that might be tough to come back from just because of all the weight bearing that they have to do. They have to make sure that they're able to fully have that healed, because you know, you can't push a guy with a high ankle sprain. So he could be out for a significant amount of time, and that opens up an opportunity to get some reps for a guy like Carter. So you get an extended audition, out of him and see what he can do. So I think it's a good pick. We're both on the same page. So again, you and I are on the same page. We're on midseason form. You know, again, our favorite football team may not be.
Yeah.
Why don't we go to the tweet of the week? Let's move right along.
Let's move right along this week. Yeah.
Tweet of the week. I'm going to start with mine. So I highlighted our good friend Ken Mitchell, who does a great job running the Bears Den. And he's at WCG Bears Den Dude. He says, it's not that they are bad. They are very bad. It's that they are bad in a way that isn't even fun to watch. I mean, if they were bad but showing growth, that would be one thing. This year, they are just bad and showing bad. I've used the word bad 7 times now. My bad. It's kind of like you run out of ways to describe this team and on this era, and I have some more Flus era stuff coming in this show. But I think Ken sort of captures it pretty well, where you're so like flabbergasted by what's happening that all of the words just kind of escape you, and you just kind of come back to one thing, and you're just like, this team's just bad.
Yeah.
And so it's really just kind of distilled down to the feeling of the fan base, I think, right now. It's just one of frustration and just one of like, ugh, they're just bad.
You know, Dan Bernstein, who does been with the Score for a long time in Chicago, the AM radio station, he had a thing called Fun Bad that he would always talk about years ago. And it was a thing where it was like, it was so bad, but they were doing things in such a comically bad way. It was actually, you know, it's fun to watch, you know, not necessarily playing good, just bad. This team is just not that at all. It's depressing. It's boring. It's typical. And it's like pathetic. Just like we talked on open a little bit, our pre-show, like Luke Getsy goes back to the stuff he did earlier that was just like not working at all. It's almost like he just brought the same game plan from week one, week two in here to the game against the Vikings after having some success, after having the extra time to prepare because you played on Thursday nights. It's just, this is the best they could do. It's just, it's sad to see how bad, there it is again, how bad this team is just operates.
We should mention that we titled the show inspired by our friend Bears Girl from Twitter. And she had put out a tweet about, I don't even know, some dating show.
Some reality show, yeah.
Yeah. I read it, and, you know, 75% of her tweets are about the Bears, and I assumed that it was about the Bears, and so I commented as such, but it was, what a boring, lame, ridiculous waste of a season, I believe was her comment. I thought, that pretty much sums it up, right? And I think you're right. I've always said, if you can't be good, at least be entertaining. And so there's been players that are fun to watch. So even if you're bad, you've got fun players that you're watching and you're cheering for. And this team does have some players that I like to watch. And so don't get me wrong there. Those guys are there. But so often they're forgotten about, even though they're clearly the best weapon that you have. They're put in a position where they can't succeed. And so it's just not fun. There's nothing fun about this bad team.
What makes it even less fun is because at least last year we knew the plan. That's the rebuild. They're going to tear that down to the studs, and they're just going to play the young guys, and they're going to try and see what they got. And You know, that's what they sold the fans on. This was supposed to be the, okay, we'll take another step this year. We're not going to be a title contender this year, but we're going to take a step. They took a step backwards. This team looks worse. They look less prepared. I just don't know what's going on. And it's like, are we already at the point now, six games in the season, that it's already thinking about a redo again?
You ever see a place that had been around for a while, knowing it, like a building that no one had been in for a while, it's kind of in rough shape, and then they like tear it down, demo, right? You're like, great, that's awesome, yeah. Right? Like they're going to build something, and then like it just remains an empty lot for like 5 years. That's kind of what this feels like. We're like, oh, great, we're gonna see what's going to go in here, and it's great. And then like nothing happens, and it's like, well, I guess we don't have the eyesore, but now there's just nothing there. So that's not really fun either. So yeah, it's just it's bad.
It's bad.
What about you? What do you got?
Brad Biggs, of course, a longtime beat writer for the Chicago Tribune. If Tyson Bagent starts Sunday against the Raiders at Soldier Field, he will become the Bears' 29th starting quarterback since 2000. That's just a sad number. I'm not even sure if that's the worst. I know the Browns have had some issues at quarterback, but 29 starting quarterbacks since 2000. It's just, and it sounds like it will be the Tyson Bagent show because, you know, Fields has a dislocated thumb, no surgery, but, you know, he can't grip a football still. They're going to try and see what they can do with some rehab, but I'm guessing they're going to shut him down for at least a game here. So it'll be Tyson Bagent, 29th starting quarterback since 2000. I guess we can get kind of excited for the newness of, hey, let's see what Bagent can do. It'll be a fun story if he has some success. But I'm not expecting much out of Tyson Bagent.
I mean, do you want to talk about Bagent here? Do you want to talk about Bagent in the Fields report?
Let's hold it.
Let's hold it.
Okay. Yeah, we have some more there's something fun coming, I think, I hope.
I hope. All right. Caught up in a numbers game. Let's move on to that. I mean, I don't have much to say about starting quarterback number 29 since 2000, besides that 29 is more than the number of years since the year 2000. So that's not good.
Yeah.
Like, generally want that number to at least be lower than that.
Yeah.
Caught up in a numbers game. I'll start off. My stat of the week is 174. That is the win percentage of the Matt Eberflus era. Do you know the coach before Eberflus, that's the worst winning percentage in team history. Do you know the coach that owns the second worst winning percentage in team history now?
I'll know when you say it.
It's Abe Gibron.
Abe Gibron. Okay. Yeah. Yeah.
Abe Gibron has the record and has had it for a long time. Now, John Fox was flirting with that record, but he won a few games to put him over the top. Abe Gibron has a 274. Win percentage. Okay. So here's the thing.
This is going to be bad.
Let's assume that Matt Eberflus finishes out year two of his coaching career with the Chicago Bears, but let's assume that he's done after this year. Matt Eberflus would have to go 6-5 in the remaining 11 games to avoid being the worst head coach in team history. 6-5. He has to win more than half of his remaining games for him to avoid displacing Abe Gibron, who was widely known as the worst coach in team history. It's not going to happen. He's going to leave Chicago as the worst coach in team history. Like I see zero chance of him winning six of the last 11 games. So I don't know how bad it's going to get. Right. I don't know if that 174 mark's going to get higher or lower by the end, but I feel pretty confident in saying that he will finish as the worst Bears head coach ever.
6-5 finish would give him 7 wins in this year, which is what some of us thought we'd have a chance for, flirting with 7 wins, 8 wins, you know, that from a 3-win team last year, that would be improvement. But they're not going about it the right way. It's just things are so bad and so discombobulated offensively. You know, it's just such a Bears thing where here's the defense now that's been talked about all year has been bad. They have a fantastic performance. They only allowed 220 yards total against the Vikings. You know, they got a turnover. They think they were like, they held them for like two third down conversions the whole game. But the offense does nothing to pull it off. It's just such a Bears thing to have, you know, not having a whole team game. The special teams looked okay. The defense looked okay, but nothing from the offense.
Yeah. Bad.
My number's a little more exciting here.
Okay.
My number's 46.2. And that is the career yards per punt average from Trenton Gill. And that is the highest in Chicago Bears history among punters that have more than just, you know, a handful of punts here and there. Number two on that list is Pat O'Donnell. We all know Pat O'Donnell. And then number three on that list is from the 1940s and 50s, George Gilianix.
Yeah, I don't know how to say that name either, but I recognize it. Yes.
Yeah, so Trenton Gill, the guillotine.
The guillotine.
Number one all time Bears history with a 46.2 punting average.
Well, I have to tell you guys, very excited. I went to look at Trenton Gill's Pro Football Reference page today because that's what I do. I go and look at player Pro Football Reference pages all the time, and I just wanted to see what Gill's stats were, what they look like compared to last year. Totally independent of Lester bringing it up, I wanted to kind of see where he was at. And I noticed that Pro Football Reference now uses the guillotine as his official nickname, which that is the paper of record, so to speak, when it comes to nicknames. I did not send them information to say, hey, would you consider this nickname? And now I have done that for other players where I've come across things in the past, but I thought that was a little self. I didn't even think about it, but I thought that would be self-serving. Like, you know, I coined this nickname. I'm not going to try to get it on like that. That did not happen.
It's a little too much. But yeah.
It is now on the page. And so it is an official nickname. I know that Gil is familiar with it because he had that tweet a while ago with the t-shirt. He seemed excited about the t-shirt. Maybe we should try to see if we can get him one. Maybe we can talk to our 500 level buddies and see if they can send the Bears one and see if that can make his way to that. But you know, it's just to celebrate the official nickname christening by Pro Football Reference. So yeah, I, you know what? At some point, it won't be anytime soon, but at some point I'll go in and I will do that full analysis that I did early last year on his punts versus the historical averages. And I'll see how he's doing. I had revisited that a little bit. And, you know, I actually was surprised that he was above average early on in his career. And it sounds like he's kind of sticking with that mark right now. But I'll go back and I'll remap those and I'll do the calculation and crunch that out to see how he's doing at some point. It won't happen anytime soon, but we'll do some guillotine stuff at some point. You know, again, you gotta get excited where you can get excited, right?
You know, we had so much cool stuff planned with our partners at the 500 really level. Did. I mean, we had some nice shirts in the off season that they had introduced, and we had a few more on the back when we were waiting on. And when the Bears suck, it's like, that's not fun. You know, I have no interest even like do it because it's just like, you know, like this, I'm wearing my Bears hat today, the B&B Bear and Balance, but I don't wear it. It's like, come on, dude, just like get some wins, you know, do something to make me proud to be a Bears fan. Don't just go out there and lay an egg every week. So
it's hard to sell Bears shirts when they're rocking a 174 winning percentage.
Right? Oh, it's terrible.
Okay. All right. Let's get into this Justin Fields report. So Fields goes 6 for 10 for 58 yards. Brutal. He did not have a touchdown pass, threw an interception, took 4 sacks, lost 18 yards on those sacks, ran 8 times for 46 yards. So overall, not a good day.
No.
And looked a lot like week one, where there was just indecision. And I think what was shocking to me was that you had 10 days and you knew that the Vikings and Brian Flores they're going to come after you. And the first play, you spread it out. You've got 5 in the pattern and Flores sends 6 and Justin Fields locks up and takes a huge hit. That was, I mean, to me, that, there you go. You only needed to see play 1.
Yeah.
because it's
that set the tone for the whole day, right?
Set the tone, right? So he doesn't recognize that he needs to get rid of that ball fast. He doesn't check to see if that guy's coming. I mean, at some point, you have to either say, hey, okay, I got to make that guy miss, right? And I got to get out on the edge or whatever you're going to do here, or you got to get that ball out of your hands in no time. He doesn't do that. And so that set the tone. That was it, man. Like, you know, and all day it was like that. You know, the snapping didn't help things. I know we've talked about that plenty of times. The snapping did not help things at times. It blew up plays before they really got going. But there's really just no excuse as an offensive coordinator to have a lack of plan, as you know, protection to not account for that, or knowing that if you're going to turn a guy loose, that you got to hit a hot, or you've got to make some crazy athletic move that he's more than capable of doing. You know, one of those sacks that he took was one of the more insane things I've seen, because he's running away from the guy and then he kind of turns back into him to kind of see where he's at. That was weird, right? That was kind of one of those like, oh, I think he's maybe lost his mojo here. He's not feeling it. He's expecting to get hit.
Yeah.
And there was another play where I thought, watching, and I know this isn't a fair comparison, but at some point it actually is, because you have to give Fields the same level of respect as some of these top flight quarterbacks if he's going to get there. But you watch Josh Allen and you watch Mahomes, and I know those guys are the dudes, but those guys start scrambling and they still keep their eyes downfield.
Yeah.
And the number of times I saw Allen run towards the line of scrimmage and then float one. Now, a lot of times in that game, he was not that good and he didn't connect, but he was still had his eyes downfield and he was trying to get the ball downfield to his playmakers. There was a few times that Fields could have done that, but he already had his eyes down and he was already running. Now, again, Justin Fields is special when he takes off, but he's just not doing those things to give himself a chance. And I think that's, man, just all throughout the whole game.
He was seeing the field better the previous two games. Mm-hmm. He did not see the field very well today. He had a bad game, and my dog is trying to escape here. But if you hear that noise on the show there. But, yeah, it was just rough because the stuff we did earlier, the previous two weeks, it was gone. It just wasn't there this time. I don't understand what the plays were. Fields, of course, had a bad game. It wasn't one of his better games by any means. But what was Getsy doing? You know Flores is going to blitz you. You know he's coming to get you. That's what he does. You know, I saw the stat. It was like, 70% or something, like some ridiculous number that they blitzed Justin Fields and Tyson Bagent. It just kept happening. And so you come out, you're supposed to go max protect. You check release late. You make sure the protection is there first. Minnesota secondary is not very good. I like DJ Moore's chances
all year.
And this was the plan that they had for Justin Fields. It just was terrible.
They had five good plans to follow because Minnesota's defense has been torn up 5 weeks, right? They're not good. And so this is what you come out with. Like, it's like, again, we have so many examples of, you don't really know how to use your own players. You don't, you just sort of are living in your own bubble of what you know as an offensive play caller, and you're not stepping outside that. And then we're seeing like, hey, here's a blueprint here, 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 and here. Are you going to incorporate any of that into your game? No, not going to do that.
No.
And it just seems so silly to me. That we, why do we have to continue to watch this for another 11 games? All right, let's talk about Tyson Bagent.
Yeah.
So a lot of people pretty excited about Tyson Bagent, right? Like we heard some groundswell stuff. Now, again, cool story. Undrafted free agent comes in, wins the backup job, like eventually gets elevated to be the direct backup. I think that's great. That's incredible. Like, I'm really excited about Tyson Bagent to see what he can develop into. But let's pump the brakes here, okay? So his first action, 10 of 14. It's all great. Right? Sounds good. 83 yards. That's a 5.9 yards per attempt. That's not very good. No touchdowns, one interception, took a sack, and lost the fumble. That is not a good game. Two turnovers in, less than two quarters of play. And I will say that 10 of 14, that's an okay completion percentage. there was a couple turnover worthy throws in there. Like, I mean, he was yellow, man. Yeah. Like, I mean, there was, I mean, he was chucking it with a popcorn gun arm. There's some stuff he got away with, and he's not going to get away with it all the time. And I was trying to think of a comparison, and again, he's super young. He can develop into something. Like, I'm not shooting this down. To me, this is like, you know, I see a poor man's Gardner Minshew, and I like Gardner Minshew. Gardner Minshew's a top end backup, right? And then when he gets a start, sometimes he plays a great, perfect game. He's super accurate. He does not have a strong arm. He got exposed. Gardner Minshew, speaking, got exposed. Three picks, but I think he threw for 300 yards, right? So like, there, it feels like a little bit like that, where he has to play on time. He has to see the field perfect. He has to know what's happening. Like, and he has to get the ball out before receivers are out of their break, because he doesn't have that arm to be able to get it in there. You can contrast that with someone like Fields, who waits too long most of the time because he has an absolute laser that he can just fire it in there, right? So he gets away with things because he's had so much talent, and he hasn't had to anticipate in his life. And so I think you're going to see a very different game out of your Chicago Bears quarterback here than what you've seen out of Justin Fields. Some good and probably a lot of bad. Like, I think that's kind of where I'm at. I think that there's a chance that the ceiling will never be as high. Okay. Like, let's just put that out there right now. I think there's a tendency to want to say the floor is higher, but I don't think that's true, because I think that if he's in a negative game script, or if he has to try to make plays out of structure, if he's got to try to like be creative and throw downfield, you're going to see more ducks, particularly if the weather's not very good. I think the floor can fall out the bottom. That's where I'm at. Like, again, he's young. He can develop into something. I'm not trying to bag on him, but this is kind of scary. This could be bad.
This could be like, remember a few years back when I think all the Bears quarterbacks are hurt, and they had to turn to, was it Craig Krenzel? And they had to turn to him as a starter, and he had to start like several games for them, and they just won nothing because they just didn't have the arm talent. And that's where Bajan is. I don't think he has the arm talent right now. You know, as far as like when you see him at Fields, so you can see the difference, clearly see the difference. But Bajant, you know, what we did see in the game is some quicker decisions. And I think we're going to see a lot of quick game stuff, because I forget who I saw, but someone on social media had a comment and said, you know, sometimes your players that don't have as much, you know, physical talent, you know, they're forced to kind of do things a little quicker because that's just what they have to do to get by. So I think that's what Bajant will do. And, you know, there is part of me that's excited to see him play, because it is a great story. Undrafted free agent out of Shepherd. I mean, who the hell would ever have thought that he would have a chance to be in the NFL? Now here he is. He wins the backup job in Chicago. He gets a chance. I think it's a great story, but, you know, sports talk radio in Chicago is going nuts. Some of the newspapers are going nuts. Like, you know, like, what are we doing? They're like ready to anoint this guy. And it's like, you know, let's take a step back. Let's let him play. He's going to suck. I mean, he sucked this last game. That's what young undrafted rookies do. That's what first round rookies do. They suck when they first play. So it's not expected for him to come in and be good. Again, it'll be a great story. It'll be fun to watch. And I think he will play a couple games here, because it looks like, you know, Fields with the dislocation is going to miss some time, but, you know, let it play out. And ultimately, if there is a change to be made, if the Bears decide to blow it up and Fields is gone at the end of the year, I think Bajan's gone too, because if you bring in your own rookie quarterback, are you going to want another guy that's inexperienced behind him? Or are you going to want to bring in a guy that knows your scheme and come in? Maybe Bajan's your QB3 next year, but I don't think he has a chance to be the guy. And he's definitely not going to be, he's not playing for a chance to be a starter through the NFL, because one way or the other, if the Bears move on, they're getting a new quarterback in the first round.
Right. I mean, yeah, a lot going on with that, but we'll see. Well, you know what? Let's get a full game out of him.
We'll see what happens.
Yeah. I saw so much positive, and I have to think it's because he's an undrafted free agent.
Right? Yeah.
So you're like, hey, they got this guy for free, and look, like, he looks like he can throw the ball in the direction of wide receivers, right? Like, I mean, like, you know, the expectation on his performance is so much lower than like, hey, we invested a ton of capital in this guy and he's not this top end quarterback yet. So there's just a misalignment, I think, of expectations that I think people get pretty excited about. But I mean, if you're just looking at his football, I mean, man, it was like kind of a heart attack. If you know, half of those throws, the one to, was it Scott that he was like coming
on the
like
sideline
back, like to like that, make an amazing play. And he was, I mean, it's just a YOLO throw and it was like a 4-yard gain or something like that. I mean, it's just this, it's an adventure. Like, yeah, I mean, yeah, it could be entertaining. And I think that you could say Getsy is probably, this is probably the type of quarterback that Getsy likes to call offense for, right? Like a lot of this short pass stuff that'll get the ball out of his hands quick. And so from a play caller perspective, this is probably a decent match, right? Like it's probably not a terrible idea to match those two. But is that a good match? Like, is that going to work? Like, I don't know the answer to that, but let's give him a full game. Yeah. You know, that pass rush from Vegas, you know, that tore up Jordan Love, you know, last time I watched
him. Max Crosby's outstanding.
Max Crosby's a good football player. You know, yeah. I mean, it could be a long day, guys. So, yeah. All right, we'll take a quick break. On the other side of this, we'll do everybody's favorite segment, the Three Bears. Stick with us.
Vacations can be tricky. You already know how to book flights and hotels, but now the only thing you're missing is, you know, the actual travel experience. Because is it really a vacation if you're just sitting around like you would at home? You need a tool to get the most out of your time away. That's where Viator steps in. You can book guided tours, activities, excursions, and more in one place to make your trip truly unforgettable. Viator has over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from. Everything from simple tours to extreme adventures and all the niche, interesting stuff in between. So you can plan something that everyone you're traveling with will enjoy. Real traveler reviews give the inside scoop from people who already been on the experiences you're considering, so you can plan with confidence. Free cancellation helps you plan for the unexpected. And 24/7 customer support means you can travel worry-free. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
It's done.
Connor McDavid! It's not real!
The goal of the year.
Panarin!
Part of the past. The celebrations. Forgotten. The history.
Vegas Golden Knights!
History. We're back to a blank slate. Clean ice. All that matters now is what happens next. The Stanley Cup Playoffs.
Eastern Conference Final begins Wednesday.
All right, Lester, let's talk Three Bears. Hot bowl of porridge, cold bowl of porridge, and just right. Who do you have that you'd like to highlight for your hot bowl of porridge?
The defense has to be where you go here because that's all that had anything good here. But so this guy, he only played 19 snaps on defense. But somehow he piled up 7 tackles and a tackle for loss, and that's Jack Sanborn.
He was all over the place.
He also had an assist on special teams for tackles, so 19 snaps, getting that much, you know, on the stat sheet, where we've seen other players in, you know, the last several years, they played a lot and they do nothing. So Sanborn made the most of his time. It kind of makes you thinking like, okay, well, if you got this guy Sanborn, who's productive when he plays, did you really need to spend so much money at off-ball linebacker in free agency? It's like, I like TJ Edwards. I like Tremaine Edmonds. They're both very good football players, but did you not realize what you have here in Jack Sanborn if he's going to put up these kind of numbers here in limited time? You know, especially since you knew you weren't in the championship window. This was still the, you know, build it up window, you know? So maybe you could have put that money at offensive line, maybe at an edge rusher, maybe at a better D tackle. I mean, we like Andrew Billings, but Justin Jones is okay, but could you have found a better three tech possibly? Maybe you would have had the money to get one of the guys from the Commanders because, you know, just, I don't know, the money allocation here possibly is, it's really old school. And then especially when, you know, you can find guys, like Jack Sanborn. You know, you could find guys like TJ Edwards, another undrafted guy that the Eagles found. I don't know if that's probably the best way going forward to dump that kind of money into your linebacker core.
It was always a questionable allocation of resources.
Yes.
Right? Like, I mean, we talked about that from the beginning. Like, why are you spending so much money at linebacker, particularly when you shipped off Roquan because you didn't want to pay him that kind of money? And I get it. Your negotiations broke down. Roquan Smith right now looks like he might be paving a path to the Hall of Fame. He's playing that well in Baltimore, so that's kind of rough. But interestingly enough, so Sanborn popped to me. I had him on my list. I also put TJ Edwards down, though.
He did have a great game. Yeah, he did.
Right? And so he's still on a tackle record pace. So I want to mention that. I did the stats calculation before. He's still on pace. Now, he's slowed down just a little bit from that torrid pace that he was on. Sanborn collected a lot of probably his tackles in this last game, right? Didn't let Edwards get in and clean him up. He recorded a sack for the second straight game. He had a forced on that play. They call it a sack forced fumble. I just think that was a pick. I think that was like a pressure and a pick. That was a weird stat calculation. I'm wondering if that maybe gets changed officially. It's probably too late. It's already a day later, but sometimes they'll go back and they'll correct those things. But that to me looked like a pressure and an interception. But what they did was they credited that as a forced fumble and a fumble recovery by Edmonds. Great play there. And then I wanted to ask you, what in the world? Why did they not give him credit for that fumble recovery along the sidelines?
They talked about how they didn't have enough cameras at Soldier Field. Since it was a noon kick, there was the minimum amount of cameras for TV coverage, so which meant they didn't have enough coverage, enough cameras to cover the angle of the recovery. But I'm like, that still looked like.
But like, if they call it on the field,
exactly. But I didn't understand what happened there. I guess someone said on Twitter that they changed it on the field initially, and then the replay was just to make sure. I don't know, the whole process there was just strange to me. I thought the same thing. You know, you need clear evidence to overturn a call, and I thought that was the call. It looked like a recovery to me. I didn't understand the whole thing.
Now, I think we got jobbed on that one. That was
a very Bearsy thing to happen. That kind of
stuff. That absolutely looked like a fumble recovery to me. I will say that I also had notes in here. They're maybe not worth a full bowl, so we'll have them split it. But okay. The return game, right? Like there's the punt returns with Taylor. Like you feel sure-handed, you feel good about it. Valus, you know, the returns that counted looked good. Not a good idea to pick the ball up as it's rolling around in the end zone. Now, again, once it hit, which was funny because it hit the end zone, I was like, why is that not blown dead? Like, that was my initial thought. Like, that's a touchback. And then he starts running around with it, and I'm like, wait, do I not understand the rule? Like, there's, you know, million thoughts running through my head, and then they place it at the 25. But Valus needs to know that rule as well as anybody, right? And just like, oh, it hit the end zone, it's a touchback. But he kind of panicked and ran to the sideline, and but that didn't count. So he gets at least a little bit of a shout out.
Give him a small pass.
The return game is looking good, is what I'm saying. And he's getting both of those guys getting a few snaps on offense, and you know, it's a thing. Cold Bowl. Let's turn it around. What do you got for that? Plenty of options here.
For me, you kind of alluded to it earlier. I'm going to go with my cold bowl is the Bears pass protection. And in particular, it's the play you already highlighted, the first play of the game. You know, just you come out and empty. The Vikings show pressure from both edges. So the sack happened. And I saw people on Twitter right away, oh, Larry Borum sucks. It wasn't Larry Borum's guy. He came off the edge. What happens is the pass pro is set based on where the middle linebacker is. So they say, okay, this is the Mike. So now they're going to adjust their pass accordingly, because if he comes, they got to account for him. So they were all going to the right. Anything off the left edge, Fields has to know he's hot. And then I saw other stuff on Twitter. It's like, oh, well, you should have had your slide to the other way. So that way first read of Fields, that way the pressure's in his face. He sees it coming. That's not what you do. You set it based off the mic. The mic linebacker is who you pick it as. Now we're going to slide that way. They slid to the right. Fields has to know that pressure's coming there. Now, look, whether he knew it was there or not, the ball has to be out immediately. Now, could he have looked towards the pressure so is he more aware of it? Yeah, he probably should have done that. If he didn't think he'd get the ball quick enough to the right and he knew pressure was coming from the left, then go that way. There was three receivers on that side. You know, he had somewhere he could have went to quickly. Didn't do it. Second play that pissed me off, Darnell Wright. I'm guessing he missed the call because he went out to the defensive back that was blitzing off the edge, leaving Daniel Hunter big ass for your running back to pick up. You never want to have a little guy blocking a big guy. Even Coach Luce talked about it in the press conference today. That's not ideal. They don't want to have, you know, they want to have big on big when possible. Darnell Wright missed the call there. Again, rookie right tackle. They're going to make mistakes. And then I know a lot of people are blaming Foreman. Foreman can't block the guy. Foreman's not a good pass blocker as it is. That's one of the problems in his game. But I don't like his chances against Daniel Hunter. You know, 6'4", 265, you know, 70-some-odd sacks in his NFL career. Probably the best pass rusher on the Vikings. I don't want him matched up against Foreman. So those two plays, just having those problems, you know, yeah, it's a mistake, but those mistakes can't happen.
I completely agree. But rough pass protection game. And again, you had 10 days to prepare for the Vikings blitzing. You know, it's coming. Like, it's, if you've watched any Vikings games, you don't even have to watch Vikings games. You just go to the stats, right? Like, you don't even have to turn on the film. You can just go and know that they bring heat, right? So you probably should want to prepare for that. They did not. They clearly did not have enough. Like, and I'm talking everybody, you know, Getsy, clearly not calling a game against a blitz heavy team. Like, just did not see a lot of blitz beaters, right? It Fields for not having the awareness, for the offensive line making plenty of mistakes. Like, it's not easy, but that's actually, that's why the Vikings have been gashed so much, is because teams are ready for them to blitz a lot and they play blitz beaters. And then, like if you live that way, you get gashed, right? Like, that against teams that take advantage of it. But if you're a bad team, right. I mean, there's just, you know, there's a reason why it, like, blitzing's so effective. Why don't you just do it 100% of the time? Well, because there's ways to beat it. Yeah. Right. But they're so over leveraged on blitzing that it should be a team that you can take advantage of. They have been so far this year, but not the Bears. That's frustrating. Yeah. That to me is coaching, right?
Yes.
Like, exactly. You can't convince me that the Bears are so, you know, have such a talent deficit on the offense this year. Like, it's just not the case. They have good players, but it comes down to coaching. So I completely agree with you. I have to at least mention the snaps once again. They continue to get cold bowls of porridge. It's rough. Oh, I thought you might bring it up because you have been kind of downplaying it for.
I am out on Cody Whitehair center experience. I am officially over this. He's had his chance. Coach Flus had some, I don't know what he was talking about. They switched because Patrick has more experience. Like, what are you doing, dude? I get it. You want to protect your guy. You don't want to say I benched him. Because that's not, you don't do that to a veteran. I get it. So I understand that. But, you know, just figure out something better. Because then they asked Bajan. Of course, the media was all over that. As soon as Bajan comes up there, oh, can you explain, you know, do you have more experience with Patrick? Is he more comfortable having him snapping the ball? And he said, no, I don't have more experience with either one of those guys because I work with the scout team all days. But I do try and take snaps from both guys here and there. So, yeah, it's fine. But I just don't understand.
He's like, Dan Feeney's my guy. What are you talking about?
And speaking of, where the hell's Dan Feeney? If Ryan Poles spends a 6th-round pick on this guy.
Bring the mullet out.
Bring the mullet in.
I want to see Feeney next week. This is. I'm not saying he's going to be good. I just want to see him. Let's get Feeney in there. Let's
get. Yeah, the guys are bad. So,
yeah. All right. That's what I got. What about Just Right?
Just Right. I'm going to go with Deontay Foreman. You know, 15 carries, 65 yards, 4.3 yards per carry. I thought he ran hard. You know, I thought he was physical. You know, he was moving the pile there on occasion. You know, him and Darrington Evans, both backs had a pretty good game. They didn't stick with the run as much as I thought they should have, but I thought Foreman looked close, man. There was a few times where I thought he was going to break something, you know, and he seemed to take the loss hard after the game. He put a lot of on himself for not breaking some of those tackles. So, but I think the Bears running game will be fine moving forward. Lean on it, especially if Bajan's your guy now. You know, you lean on this, you know, more Foreman, more fullback, you know, just pound the rock, you know, let Bajan kind of let the game come to him. And I think it's going to be a big game out of Foreman next week.
Yeah, I had Foreman written down as well. 15 carries, 65 yards, 4.3 yards per carry. It's exactly what you expect out of a guy like that. And like you say, very close to breaking a few. That would have really changed the course of that game. Yeah. Saw that a lot around the league yesterday, actually. There was a lot of, like, oh, almost. Like, defense kind of dominated for the most part yesterday. But just so, like, oh, just, you know, fingertip away from a big catcher. Oh, that guy just tripped, you know, just enough, right? So, pretty interesting. Then the Bears had a couple of those. I also wanted to mention Cairo Santos hitting a 53-yarder, and he's been great on kickoffs this year. He's just been nails, 10 for 10 in field goals. Also allows me to bring up and give me an opportunity to give another cold bowl porridge, because I didn't in the previous segment here. 22-yard field goal means that the Bears kicked from the 5-yard line. I'm sorry. I know it's a defensive head coach, but absolutely not. You got to get that out. Like, you have to have the mentality that you get goal-to-goal situations, that you're going to go for it. Like, you are going to play call in a way that you're going to use all four downs to try to get a touchdown. Because, you know, and again, I know some people don't love analytics, but if you just turn the ball over and it's inside the 5-yard line, the expectation for most of those drives is that they're backed up. They're going to try to run to get out. You're likely going to stop them, and you're going to force a punt. And you're going to have good field position. Yep. You may even get a safety and get the ball back. Like, there's a lot more good things that can happen when you pin a team down inside the 5. And so, to me, like, getting 3 points early in the game, no. Get the 7 or turn it over and play some defense and get the ball back and, like, have an aggressive mentality. But 22-yard field goal should not be in your vocabulary. Do not like it.
Man, we're already on the good bowl here, and you're already just right, and you're going back to cold. You're so
I had to. I'm sorry.
That's
sorry.
Okay. That's okay.
Do you have something that's good to say the end on? Because, like,
there's really not much. I mean, but like you said, the Santos, man, no misses all year. His kickoffs have been strong. You know, there was a lot of talk offseason. Oh, he's who was that guy they signed? I don't remember his name now.
Schmidt.
Like, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, this is the new guy. Santos sucks. We'll see what happens. Yeah, Santos has been good this year. You know, not a lot of consistency on this Bears team, but he's the one guy that you can always count on. So, and again, over 50-yarder. Again, that was a knock on him early in his career. Oh, he can't make the long one. But the last 3 or 4 years, he's gotten much better there. So, is there anything else we can end on? I don't want to end on a kicker all the time.
You don't want to end on a kicker?
Go through your notes. What do you got positive here? Something's got to be good.
Boy, I did not have a lot of positive things, you know. That's the hard thing. Jalen Johnson, you know, looked okay at times. How's that?
He did look okay. Oh, did you see Jalen Johnson? They asked him today about possible trade block. Yeah. He said, of course, I'm aware of it. I know the deal, so it could be some trades. I mean, if I was the Bears, you know, again, I'm not sure how much Ryan Poles is secure in his job status, but, you know, if he's pretty comfortable, maybe he does start making some moves and start selling guys off. And because I think Jalen Johnson, you know, he'll fetch something in return, you know. So there's a couple guys on this roster you think, okay, let's see who needs a vet. You know, maybe they can make some moves and pull some draft picks in. But again, if Poles is not secure, why would he care? If he's like, well, if I'm going to get fired anyway, what's the, point?
So here's the argument, right? Is that your season's, you're not going to be in the playoffs, right? Like, I mean, you're at this point, record wise, how they played, you've pretty much told yourself, like, okay, I know where this is going. So you say, okay, well, is this a situation where we're going to be active in free agency next year, or we're going to let our players walk and sign elsewhere and try to get a comp pick, well, this team's going to be active in free agency next year, regardless of who's making the decisions, because they got all kinds of money. They're still going to own next offseason. So it doesn't make any sense for you to like let players walk, right? So if there's anybody that's under that's going to be a free agent next year, which Jalen would be, and you don't think he's going to be part of your future, then you move on.
You got
it. That's the argument. Now, I like Jalen Johnson, but if that's the determination that you don't want to give him a contract, and you have enough juice still in the building that you're allowed to make decisions like that, then yeah, you're going to be on the phone and you should be moving pieces. Now, it's not going to make fans happy to continue to sell off good players, but you're already bad, as the theme of the show. And so at this point, you kind of want to continue to be bad for ensuring high draft picks so that you can try to lock down some blue chip players.
Yeah. Players and coaches won't tank, but the front office can certainly tank by making moves and, you know, setting you up to not be as successful as you currently are with your one win team. So man, this show sucked.
Man,
so
much bad. Boring, lame, ridiculous waste of a season.
There it is.
All right. Well, we'll end it there. Despite the record, we're still around. We're still creating content. We're still hanging out with you. And we are going to continue to do that on the YouTube to check on the questions and comments. If you're listening to this on the podcast and want to join us every Monday at 6 o'clock. Although next week, you're going to be joined by a special guest. Taylor Dahl is going to be taking my place. She's going to be filling in for me. And then you are going to be filling in for me on Bears Over Beers next Wednesday with EJ. You even have a beverage that you are going to bring on that people are going to want to join just to watch you drink this beverage. I will tell you guys that. But anything else going on you want to highlight before we get out of here?
I'm a little nervous now because now I'm going to have to drink the whole thing while I'm on air with EJ next Wednesday. So. No, it's like you said, no matter what's going on with the Bears, we got stuff popping. I know Jacob has a mock draft already and ready this week because right now the Bears are 1-2. So let's take a look at what's out there.
This is I was going to use a not appropriate term, but this is a dream scenario for Jacob Infante, who loves the draft and will have endless possibilities to play with the mock draft simulator and show all of the things that you can do with the number one and number two picks. But make sure you're checking that out. Make sure you're checking out the rest of our shows. And until next week, do your best. Take care of your mentals and bear down.
Thanks, guys.
More to-dos, less time, and an infinite number of tools to keep track of. Sometimes doing business has never felt harder, but you don't need a miracle to hit your goals. You can just use HubSpot because their all-in-one customer platform can make growing your business infinitely easier. Imagine this: high-quality leads, fast closing deals, wildly happy customers, and more benchmark-breaking quarters. It's not a miracle, it's HubSpot. Visit HubSpot.com to get started today.